you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome into another Training Camp Daily edition of the Under Center podcast brought to you by St. Xavier University. I guess this is a post-game preseason version of the Under Center podcast because I'm JJ Stankovic, joined by Cam Ellis and John Moon Mullen here in the bowels of Soldier Field after we got done watching the Bears play the Panthers. Honestly, I guess the Panthers won. I don't really care who won this game at all. But guys, we've got some legit kicker things to talk about here, because out on the field we saw Eddie Pinheiro miss a 48-yarder, and heard a couple boos.
Sure did.
Elliott Fry though made a 43-yarder going into the north end zone. Panthers coach Ron Rivera said after the game that he purposely iced Elliott Fry because he knows the Bears need a kicker and he was trying to help him out. Matt Nagy also said he appreciated that. Elliott Fry made that kick. He also knew the significance of it, given 43 yards going into the north end zone, the double doink distance in the same area. So overall, I think better day for Elliott Fry, some struggles for Eddie Pinheiro, but the real winner of the day was the Panthers kicker.
Yeah, I was going to say, if Ron Rivera wanted to help out the Bears, he should give him a shot at that kicker.
Well, he did. So shout out to God, this is such a preseason pod because I've already forgot Sly's first name.
Joey
Sly. Thank you, Cam, for being on the ball.
I wrote it down
in this podcast. Joey Sly made every kick he attempted today, including from 42 and 55 in the first half, and that 55-yard had a little extra oomph to it. So hey, if someone's trying out for the Bears here who isn't Eddie Pinheiro or Elliott Fry, It was Joey Sly who had a pretty good showing today. He probably won the day for any of the kickers.
Yeah, actually, and probably the two Bear kickers, if you did the Baltimore backup, Vedvik.
Kyer Vedvik,
hit from
4-4.
55, 45, 26, and then was, I think it was right, one
29.
More.
Also, so, Cole Hedlund from the Colts went 3-of-3 today.
Okay. My guess is the guys know that.
We're watching this, yes.
I'm sure the Bears, the GMs are on Rolodex. You wonder if there's actually stationing a scout there to watch the kickers.
I would have to think they would.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at the numbers, but I don't know. I don't know about you guys. Were you impressed? I wasn't real impressed. I mean, the 48-yard miss
was not a
really strong kick. Now, Nagy said he was pleased that they came back, or that Pinheiro came back and made the next one.
Came back and hit a 29-yarder.
Okay. Well, there's two other guys around the NFL that were way better today.
So one of those guys was on the field. And also, too, it kind of belies that we should give Elliott Fry some credit here.
Yeah.
Because he did have a good day. He made the kicks that were in front of him, and there was nothing that looked really dicey about any of those kicks. Shout out to the fans here. 45,000 fans here at Soldier Field today gave a louder cheer for Elliott Fry hitting a PAT than the play that set up the PAT, which is David Montgomery's 7-yard touchdown run.
And shout out to the fan that screamed, "Don't hit it off the crossbar."
Yes.
In a dead silence.
Audibly,
Soldier Field,
yes.
And the entire place laughed. But yeah, no, I mean, to bring it back to David Montgomery, boy, he had a game, didn't he? Like, woof. I mean, he only had, I think, probably 48 yards, but he effectively stopped running. He didn't get a handoff in the second half, I don't think.
He was as advertised today.
And he was as advertised. Mm-hmm. He had a couple incredible moves. He's light on his feet. He can cut in different directions. It was really, it looked really, really good.
And I think the perspective to have on this kind of situation is, you know, he was doing it against the backups of a middling defense. So let's not build, you don't want to build it into too much, but if he hadn't done that, then there'd be cause for concern. So the kid went out and he kind of didn't shred him exactly, but close. In fact, I think on that touchdown drive, He had five on the seven plays. He had five touches, two catches.
And the 23-yard gain he had on the screen pass, where that play could have gone for 18 yards. It was first and 20. That play could have gone for 18 yards. He made a move, the head fake that he gave to then cut outside, that gained five extra yards and got the Bears the first down. That is something that I'm sitting there thinking, Jordan Howard gets that ball. He is going straight into the defender, and he's getting tackled for an 18-yard gain, and they're not getting the first down. That is something that is plain to see that David Montgomery can do that the Bears did not have in their running back room last year.
And I think one of the things that I've often judged players by, because players know. So Chase Daniel was talking about that run. And I was saying to you, Cam, when he came out in here, he was shaking his head saying, and there was nothing, that 7-yard run, he said, man, there was nothing there. And when a player's impressed, a veteran guy like that, that tells me the kid has something. And again, you're not playing Kansas or Kansas State anymore, but he ran away from NFL defensive players. And I think that was a major positive, even if he didn't do it against the Bear defense today. But if he hadn't done that, then you'd be worried. So I think that was an extreme positive today.
He impressed Matt Forte, who sent a couple tweets during the game about how impressive his vision, patience, all these things that showed up on film at Iowa State. When you impress Matt Forte with the things that made Matt Forte a great running back, I think you're doing something right, even if it is just one preseason game.
And he played special teams.
Right. Which maybe a little too much.
Something.
He saved a punt return touchdown.
I know, and it's funny. I mean, thinking back to guys like Neil Armstrong and Neil Anderson.
The first man who walked on the moon.
After he went to the moon, he came back and worked special teams. Great on kick cover. Guys who high picks who have done that, I think that impresses the coaches. These guys can be prima donnas. I mean, I'm not sure when the last time David Montgomery played special teams other than running the ball back. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of want-to. I think that kind of thing will play well in Chicago and with his teammates.
Yeah, and speaking of playing well in Chicago, people asked him about it after the game, and he could not have been more dismissive about it. He was just like, oh, it's my job. I was on a special teams. I'm going to play special teams. And it's a stupid little quote, but like he could have said anything else. He very easily could have taken credit for a good play because it was objectively a good play.
Yeah.
But he gave this sort of very patriotic answer, I guess I will say, for lack of a better term. It's worth very little, but it's better than the opposite, I guess I should say.
He is very much a we, not me guy.
Sure.
He does not come across as someone who cares at all about the personal plaudits of this. And that makes him a bad interview, but that also makes him someone who the Bears like a lot. And that's totally fine. I mean, he's a really good running back, and Jordan Howard was a bad interview, had a couple good seasons. So, whatever that's not worth anything.
But I think one of the last thoughts about him to me is how he used his blockers. You know, talking about not a me guy, and he's not somebody who takes credit for what he does. He credits the blockers did it. There may have been nothing there, but he would say, well, they tied things up so I could get around the edge. So I think that kind of thing will play well with the team. He's a we, not a me guy, and I think that's going to really play well in the locker room.
Yeah, and he's someone who has earned that respect for kind of the work he's put in behind the scenes so far. That today's game will only continue to improve that respect as the Bears go back down to Bourbonnais for two more practices over the weekend. A couple other notes that I jotted down. We saw a lot of Ian Bunting today, the tight end, and it was sort of up and down. For him, he had a missed block where that led to a sack by, I believe it was Brian Burns, who just beat him across his face and made him look pretty foolish there. But he then came back, and he had a big 45-yard reception that set up the Elliott Fry field goal at the end of the second quarter. He had a couple other penalties thrown in there, but then had another really nice catch. So he looked pretty fluid running routes. Big guy, big target. He did lose a fumble, although if you look at the replay of it, the Panthers defensive back, I mean, it was like peanut punch extraordinaire, like a peanut haymaker, and Charles Tillman even gave it a little shout out on Twitter. So I don't know how much that's really on Bunting and how much more that was just a great play by the Panthers defensive player.
Yeah, somebody, an NFL guy elsewhere in the NFL said somebody in the building really likes Bunting, and that's not an insignificant thing to say, because he had a couple penalties too. I mean, it was a holding, and I think it was a false start.
Yeah.
But clearly when Matt Nagy talked about him, talks about his, he's got big hands. He's a natural pass catcher. So at least in the coach's mind, he has the it. Now, we need to trim away those penalties and those missed blocks and so forth, but clearly they like the guy.
It was notable how much more he was on the field today than Dax Raymond, and I think I want to see the final snap counts once those are up on Friday, but I would not be surprised if there is a rather significant difference with how much more Ian Bunting was on the field today, and that is telling in the first preseason game.
It was an extremely game one of the preseason performance, right? Like, as someone who has a lot of athletics that also maybe is moving a little slow for the NFL, like, the NFL is moving fast for him, I should
say.
Right.
Instead. So then you have a holding penalty, a false start,
But I was encouraged. I mean, especially for the team that sort of needs to find some depth at that position, it's nice to see that they can have someone who can run those routes comfortably.
Mm-hmm. And Bradley Soule committed a penalty today, too.
So
that was a, if I'm looking at my notes, because, God, my note, guys, you should see my notebook. It is just full of chicken scratch. Yeah. It is an absolute mess.
I'm surprised you got a full page of notes on the game.
It's one and a half pages of notes. It's too much. But no, Bradley Soule did have a penalty. Shout out Deion Bush, excuse me, had a really good game. He had a pass breakup. He had an interception. He also told Clifton Duck to just kind of like calm down and, you know, just play your game. And Clifton Duck got off to a pretty rough start to the game. He then finished his game with a pass breakup and a really nice hit, where he said essentially that was the pep talk he got from Deion Bush. So, hey, here's a fourth-year guy who hasn't played a whole lot of first-team minutes in his career, coming out and telling an undrafted rookie, hey, you know, calm down, you deserve to be here. That sort of level of leadership, even from a guy like Deion Bush, that also is sort of telling for how deep this Bears team is.
It is, and deep is really a key word, because last year, because of the health of the team, the backups almost didn't, I won't say didn't matter, but they didn't matter as much.
Right,
because everybody
right.
was pretty healthy. You know, guys were missing one, two games. That's not normal. And so we're really talking about guys who will make the roster as special teamers, or somebody in week eight, if there's a hamstring, God forbid, and somebody has to get duck, and somebody's going to be called on to make a play, do more than just fill the spot. So, yeah, suddenly these guys are maybe clip and save, remember these little remarks. Yeah, we saw something from that guy in the first preseason game. The coaches are making notes like that.
Oh, absolutely. So, Josh Woods also had a couple plays. He forced a fumble. He looked pretty good out there, even though there were a couple misses, but I think the biggest negative for me, Moon and Cam, was the punt coverage teams.
Oh, my gosh. It was so bad.
And these are guys who, if you are on punt coverage in week one of the preseason, unless you're David Montgomery, you are fighting for a roster spot. And for it to be as bad as it was, where it did take David Montgomery shoving what was his name? This is, again, such a preseason thing. Number 17
on the
Panthers.
Oh, no, I didn't write it down. I looked it up. I didn't
write
it down. Yeah,
you know what? Who cares? Shoving the Panthers punt returner out of bounds.
We promise it happens.
Yeah, where it took David Montgomery doing that. That was bad punt coverage. There were too many instances of that today, and I'm sure that's something that Chris Tabor is not going to take lightly when the Bears get back down to Bourbonnais on Saturday.
Yeah, you could tell there was very little lane integrity.
Yeah.
And if you were kind of looking from above, like we're watching an electric football game here, you know, one side of the field might be 30 yards farther down. They weren't even. Are you guys jaking it or whatever? And why this becomes important, these are the guys, some of these guys will make special teams and be part of the, well, if they give up field position, you're going to put, the Bears may have a top five defense.
Exactly.
But
won't
if you're forcing them to play on 55-yard fields, it's going to hurt. So this is something, as you say, I think Chris Tabor is going to have to address, because that wasn't good enough.
Rashad Coward had a bit of a rough game today, and that's one to keep an eye on, just given that the Bears have, in moving Bradley Soule to tight end, they've not totally committed to Rashad Coward being their backup tackle. Because, first of all, he only played right tackle. We haven't quite seen him swing over to the left, which is something Harry Heaston said they are going to get him to do as the preseason goes on. But he got beat pretty badly for a sack in the third quarter. He had another sack. Another sack. I believe he had a couple penalties in there. On the positive side, though, I did like what I saw out of Kareth White.
Yeah.
Late in the game, he
had a couple of nice bounce back runs.
And he looked better than Ryan Nall, if you're looking at the battle for who could be the last running back on this roster. But granted, we're talking about, I mean, Kareth White didn't get in until 40 minutes into the game, so he's playing against backups to the backups to the backups at that point.
And I think Nall contributed on a special team.
He did, at
least one tackle, maybe two.
Yes.
And that's what you have to do as a backup running back.
Right.
I thought the D-line all night looked really good.
Roy Robertson Harris is really good.
They got, they got a lot of pressure. And granted, in the third and fourth quarter, it's not the same thing. But they got a lot of pressure all night. It didn't really matter who was in either.
Yeah.
I thought it was just the depth.
Abdullah Anderson was good.
The depth of the D-line was really on display, I thought, through most of the game.
Yeah, I mean, Roy Robertson Harris being in there and just, like, wrecking a play in the second quarter was like, okay, you can also come out of this game. Because, like Eddie Goldman and Bilal Nichols, who started the game, you're fine. Before we get out of here, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the handful of starters who did play today. Obviously, Mitch Trubisky played three snaps. He handed off three times to Mike Davis, and that was that.
He sure did.
You saw Eddie Goldman, Bilal Nichols, Roquan Smith, HaHa Clinton Dix all get starts today as well. The first note I had in my notebook is Roquan, good. Although I got to say, he's slacking because it took him one snap to get his first sack in a game last year. It took him four this year. So,
and that was Aaron Rodgers too.
Yeah,
It was
Aaron Rodgers, not who was starting for the Panthers.
Ryan Allen. Yeah. So, but
does it matter who was starting for the Panthers today? No, it doesn't.
No, but it wasn't. We know it wasn't Cam Newton, which would have been a little better. It would have better pelt on the
that
wall.
That would have. Ron Rivera would have had to, like, he would have just step away if Roquan Smith sacked Cam Newton in a game.
Although
Ron
Rivera, I remember when he left the Bears and went to the it was the linebacker coach, I believe, at San Diego, and the Bears' first preseason game was against them. The first 8 plays, he blitzed. Come on, son, it's preseason. And I think his way of sticking it back to the Bears, so at least he was a lot nicer today.
Hey, both Riverboat Ron and Chuck Pagano sent more blitzes than I think I was expecting today.
The first quarter, like, that looked like they blitzed like every other play in that defense.
Hey, why not?
It was exciting to watch.
Get used to it.
Roquan, it was a delayed blitz, which was even more remarkable because, like, the play started and then it was almost like an afterthought, like, man, where did he come from?
Right.
Yeah.
Other than that, not a whole lot else to really talk about today. I think we've gone pretty deep into one preseason game.
Slow wide receiver game. I did not see not a lot from the wide receiver.
Not a standout. Marvin Hall had the only real flash, and on that play, Tyler Bray underthrew him in the fourth quarter. He would have been open for a touchdown, would have been six. Didn't see a whole lot from Javon Wims. Emmanuel Hall did not play today. You're right, Cam. Not a lot from the wide receivers. Anthony Miller was in there, but didn't really see any of him. But then again, Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, and Cordarrelle Patterson did not play. Riley Ridley also did not play.
Anthony Miller
did play, but that's sort of the point. You didn't notice him.
Yeah, exactly.
So other than that, just that's your first preseason game. We've got three more to go before the real ones start, 4 weeks from tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
Is that the good news or the bad news?
I'm going to say that's the good news.
We're one game
closer to a real game here. We are one day closer to the next edition of the Under Center Podcast, Training Camp Daily, presented by St. Xavier University. That will be back on Saturday. It's going to be John Moonmullen and myself. That is the final open practice of training camp down in Bourbonnais. Then on Sunday, the Bears have one more practice at Olivet Nazarene University before they break camp and head up to Hallis Hall, where Moon, the feng shui is way better.
There'll be a column tomorrow about this. Is this good news or bad news? Ron Rivera, of all people, I'll just preview it a little bit, said the Bears will never win a Super Bowl as long as they're in the Hallis Hall as it was configured because of the old Chinese feng shui. And he goes into some detail about it. And this, I found my old story about it, kind of updated it. Now they've completely rebuilt or changed Hallis Hall. And even one of their senior executives said, we just got the building going the right way now. So I could half tongue in cheek, but if you believe in feng shui, which I do, might be a fun read tomorrow.
I think the feng shui of this pod needed some work because we have two mics here in the media room, in the press conference room at Soldier Field, and Cam is trying to pass the mic back and forth.
I'm getting my curls in for the day.
Yes, that's good. Feng shui, maybe not great, but from a workout standpoint,
right arm
you've burned off the cupcake and cookies that
and chips
were out.
And sandwich and cheesecake. Yeah, it was a lot.
So it was a lot.
I was in game one of my preseason, too.
Yes, that's good. That's good. Got to get into playing shape.
That's right.
For week one. Anyways, we're going to get out of here on the Under Center Podcast. We will talk to you next time on Saturday from Bourbonnais, and thank you for listening, everyone.